Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're excited to have all of our viewers on the Gulf Coast on CTN Christian Television Network, all the way from Mississippi to Sandestin, and of course, all of those that are listening on the radio. We'd love to hear from you all over the nation and across the world. Here to encourage you is Steve Kalaszewski.
Good morning, sir.
Good day, good evening. How are you doing?
Sir.
Doing good?
I'm doing good. It's a good day, and doing all right.
Good. And Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Did you sleep all right? Sleep good?
Mm-hmm. Like a brick.
Like a brick, yeah. Well, you know, the Saints played last night, so I know he went to bed early.
Yes.
He went, well.
Oh, is that what you call that?
Well, I was being generous in saying they played, but, you know, Dallas had a rough night, man, rough night. I know he was tucked away nice and early.
Yeah, I went to bed early.
Did you watch the whole game?
Absolutely not.
No, he didn't watch the punishing, but we are encouraged. And he's here and alert and
with a smile on his face.
Yes.
He is.
It does not define me.
Very good.
Mercies are new every morning.
That's right.
Well, we have so much to discuss today. So many things are happening on a just daily basis, and we want to kind of help to bring things together and kind of just talk about what's going on. I mean, right now, the nation, I mean, I guess you can say we are at war. I mean, I think anytime you send military personnel to strike other targets, bombs, shooting, I think I would, you know, say war. Definitely active aggression, no less. But this is what's going on. They're attacking ISIS in Iraq and in Syria and doing some interesting things. We'll hear from the president, interview that he just had with 60 Minutes, where he talks about some of the things that they're trying to accomplish. But these are really important times that we're living in. You know, we had another beheading that occurred, and we're going to be talking about that. But this time it wasn't in Syria. It wasn't in Iraq. It was in the United States. And we're going to talk about that because we are here at that moment. And if you're not awake, this would be a good time to be awake right now.
Yeah.
This would be a good time to be alert. Not fearful, not fretful, but definitely alert and paying attention. And hopefully we're going to get the chance to talk about New Jersey. A teen in New Jersey is praying, and they're actually suing because they want to be able to put God back into the Pledge of Allegiance. An atheist group has sued to take it out, and they're saying, hey, listen, you don't have to say it, but don't take away my privilege of being able to say the Pledge of Allegiance with one nation under God. And so if you've been listening or watching to any of our segments on rediscovering God in America, we talk about that from the very beginning, there really wasn't a separation of God in the public square, if you will. It's always happened. Our first president took the oath of office with a Bible in his hand, kissed it, and said, "So help me God." And there's tons of stories and things like that that have occurred throughout our nation. And so no one has a right to take that away when you can just, if you don't want to say it,
just don't say
it.
Yeah.
No one's making you say it. But very interesting how that is playing out. And so we're proud of her. Her name is Samantha Jones, and we're going to talk more about that. Also, the Beckett Fund is working with them, and those are the same folks that worked with Hobby Lobby when they won their historic landmark case in the Supreme Court that said they had to have all this contraceptives and all this stuff that would basically, you know, abort babies. And they said, you know, we're not going to pay for that in our business. That's not what we're about. And the Supreme Court ruled in their favor. So a lot of things have transpired. But we want to go right talking about this because right now we're living in some really – no time in history, really, have you seen what's happening, like what's going on right now in the world today? I mean, there's so much conflict, there's wars, there's so many things uprising, so many things happening all at the same time. And all the while, the economy is being held together with a Band-Aid and is on life support. And according to the Shemitah and according to other, other prophetic words, the Band-Aid's about to break. and get ready. And so what we want to do is be alert and bring a biblical perspective to what's happening, because we like to say that it's not just important to know the news, but you got to know what to do with the news that you know. And so you need to be alert, you need to pray, you need to be informed so that you can make wise decisions as a citizen, as a Christian, and as a Christian for sure, you can pray, which is the most important thing to do. But just right now, there have been airstrikes. The United States, apparently, too, they're using, Steve, some new airplanes. I'm not too familiar with them, but these new combat-ready airplanes, and they're pretty impressed with what they've been able to do. They've been able to take out certain targets, and they're attacking the ISIS wallet and their ways of getting revenue and funds. But I want you to listen to this report from CBN as they bring us up to speed on some of the things that are occurring, and we're going to continue to discuss more about this. Watch this.
Warplanes from the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates have struck again in Syria, this time hitting a dozen ISIS-controlled oil facilities. The mobile refineries generate $2 million a day for the Islamic militants.
The only language understood by killers like this is the language of force.
At the UN, the president vowed to use a broad coalition to take down ISIS, hoping that Britain will soon join the airstrikes. He also emphasized that the U.S. will not send in troops, hoping instead to support Syrians and Iraqis fighting to take back their communities.
We will use our military might in a campaign of airstrikes to roll back ISIL. We will train and equip forces fighting against these terrorists on the ground. We will work to cut off their financing and to stop the flow of fighters into and out of the region.
The president presided over a UN Security Council session on Wednesday where world leaders moved quickly against ISIS.
The draft resolution has been adopted unanimously.
A new resolution requires nations to track suspected terrorist fighters, prosecute those who travel for training, and share airline passenger information. U.S. leaders are highlighting an earlier airstrike that they say disrupted an imminent plot to blow up American passenger jets by the Al-Qaeda-linked Khorasan terror group.
We had good information, specific information, that they were nearing the end of planning and preparations for an attack on Western targets, either in Europe or the U.S. homeland. That wasn't necessarily all clear, but we knew that they were getting very, very close.
Officials say the group was developing explosives that could not be detected by airport screening machines.
They had a plan in place, people to do it, and explosives to execute it.
Meanwhile, another videotaped beheading by extremists supporting ISIS. The French government has confirmed the death of a French mountaineering guide. The radicals released a video of his death, denouncing France for refusing to stop airstrikes in Iraq. Heather Sells, CBN News.
I said, well, we've waited too long for this, but we're finally doing it, and for that I'm grateful. And I think that bunch of thugs running around in their pickup trucks and with their machine guns will find that when they're dealing with the combined air power of a number of nations, they're going to know that the game has changed dramatically. Well, joining us now with more on the growing threat in Iraq and Syria is CBN News terrorism analyst Eric Stackelbeck. Eric, what do we know about this Khorasan group of terrorists? We haven't heard too much about them. Suddenly they're a big threat. Who are they?
Pat, very shadowy group. Now, they've been around for a while. Look, intel reports about this Khorasan group probably crossed President Obama's desk a year, even 2 years ago. Now, apparently, Ayman al-Zawahiri, he's al-Qaeda's top overall leader. He's based in the tribal regions of Pakistan. Apparently, he dispatched this group. Pat, it's made up of battle-hardened veteran al-Qaeda fighters, and Zawahiri dispatched them to Syria. In specific, to recruit young Westerners who are flocking to Syria to join the jihad, recruit young Westerners to attack the West. Now, what this Khorasan group is doing, Pat, and why they are so dangerous is, number one, as I said, battle-hardened al-Qaeda guys, veterans, but number two, they're working closely with al-Qaeda's Yemen branch to come up with ingenious new bombs that can slip through American airline security and European airline security. These guys are obsessed, Pat, with hijacking or blowing up airliners. It doesn't matter how much we harden our airline security, they're not going to stop trying to penetrate They want airplanes because of the physical damage it can cause, the psychological terror, obviously, and the economic terror. You can really hurt the airline industry if you have another successful hijacking and attack, God forbid, like we had on 9/11. They saw the results of 9/11, and they are obsessed with topping that.
Well, now, Eric, it's been reported, okay, we did airstrikes, and that frustrated their plans. What do you know about the success of these airstrikes in Syria?
Pretty successful, Pat, so far. Apparently, some of these Khorasan group leaders have been killed. We have not confirmed that yet, but some of them were targeted. And according to U.S. officials, look, we've pushed back. Apparently, an attack was imminent, according to U.S. officials. Now we've, in the very least, pushed back their planning and hit a few of their main targets there in Syria. That's a good thing. We also hit ISIS targets in Syria, which, look, in terms of planning against the West, Pat, over the weekend, an ISIS leader released an audio tape threatening attacks against America, Europe, Australia, and Canada. In specific, he called for lone wolf attacks for young Western Muslims here in America to rise up and attack American targets. That is a big concern, especially with the airstrikes now against ISIS targets, Pat. I'm concerned that we could see some lone wolf ISIS sympathizer types attack targets here in America. Look, remember Fort Hood. Remember the Boston bombers. Just a few committed Islamic jihadists can cause a lot of damage.
Larry, I just can't conceive of the terror that would come about if an airplane blows up over the Atlantic or even over the continental United States, and it's known as a terrorist thing. I mean, this would freeze air travel. People wouldn't want to get near an airplane, and that would be a devastating blow to the United States economy.
It would, Pat. Look, and that is the goal of the jihadists. They want to top 9/11. That's Khorasan. That's Al-Qaeda. But ISIS, when we talk about ISIS, Pat, and their targets against the homeland, it's these smaller-scale attacks, these lone wolf-style attacks, which can also cause a lot of terror. I'll give you an example. In Australia last week, a plot was broken up by a group of ISIS sympathizers. What they wanted to do was kidnap random Australians on the street, just women, children, random Australian citizens, Pat, kidnap them and behead them. Talk about causing terror. Imagine walking down the street to catch the bus to go to work in the morning, and a group of terrorists grabs you, takes you in a car, you end up in a basement somewhere with a video camera on you getting beheaded. That is a major threat. This kind of self-starter attack, which would cause major terror, which would grab world headlines, that's what ISIS is looking to do. Al-Qaeda, still going for the big one, but ISIS, these lone wolves, these ISIS sympathizers across the West, smaller scale, but still deadly attacks, and the psychological terror, the terror of beheadings, of killing women and children, of, God forbid, seizing an elementary school, that's big-time terror, and that's what they're looking to do.
Eric, thank you so much for these incisive reports. We'll look forward to hearing from you again. Thank you so much.
You,
Eric Stackelbeck.
That was a report there on CBN. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to unpack this and talk more about what is happening, as well as the four-part strategy that the president has employed here towards ISIS. And we're going to talk about it. Was this the right strategy? Because look what's happening. Mm-hmm. When we get right back from our break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. $50 Eye Guy.
Answering your questions on a variety of subjects, this is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'd like to ask about maybe a change that's taken place in my children's charter school, they went from one principal not allowing any religious expression, I guess, to now I have several members of the Baha'i faith in that speak to virtually the whole school. And I'm just wondering, you know, I thought, you know, that when I go and speak to them, I'd like some maybe guidelines.
Well, you're really asking for an equal access right. The fact that they allowed members of the Baha'i faith to come in for a school assembly is fine. They should allow Christian clergy to come in also as speakers for the school as well. They should. All you're asking for is equal access there, nothing more, but certainly nothing less.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
And imagine what he's going to do if we begin to be sons and daughters of God and follow the Spirit of God and honor the Spirit of God and the power of God and quit buying into something outside of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, Paul said, I don't come to you with enticing words. I don't come to you with brochures and famous speech and all this kind of stuff. I come to you with what? Power. That's the Holy Spirit. And he said the reason why he did that is because your faith would be in me and not in God. That's why he said that. That's why there's so many people saying, I follow this one and I follow that one, because they're not preaching the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God. Because when the Holy Spirit is present, you realize that's God, that's not man.
You've just been listening to A Moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. You just heard this report about ISIS and about what we're doing to attack and disrupt what, you know, what's being said and, you know, what's being done. But what's being said by the president, I believe he spoke this at the United Nations, and he's repeatedly been saying these same things in different interviews, but he talks about basically a four-point strategy, that, not calling it a strategy, but basically this is what it is. He says the first thing is we're going to roll back ISIS. Now, I don't know what that means, roll back ISIS. I mean, I'd like to probably hear words like destroy, eradicate, get rid of, something more definitive, you know, something that, that says they're going to be gone. But then you hear stuff like we're going to train train other fighters like the Kurds and all these. It's like one report says it's going to take a year to get those guys ready, yeah, the Iraqi army. And my question is, are we going to retrain the same Iraqi soldiers that you guys went,
that's
Steve,
the same
the Marines?
Thing that we did, that we're going to train them so they can take
again?
Over. Well, the thing is, though, is like we're so blind to what happened in history. It's the same process that we tried to do to empower a nation of Iraq to be able to take care of their own. And it's just like, look at what happened. And we're trying to do it again with an increasing terrorist enemy, and it's just like,
think about it. You did two tours, and how many of our men and women, soldiers, went on the front lines for us, and now we're talking about training them yet again. But my question is, didn't we train them the first time? And then when ISIS came, what did they do? I mean, reports are that they laid down and said, "Oh, no, never mind. We don't want to fight you."
All the weapons that
we
gave them.
Yeah, here are our weapons. Yeah. Here. So if we train them again,
arming them again?
Arming them again? I think that's that doesn't work. That didn't work. Then you hear about we're going to cut off their finances. Okay? Well, you know, they do get $2 million a day. They've taken over oil fields and you know, they're making that on the black market, but we want to cut off their finances. Then you say we want to cut off their recruiting efforts. Which people that are leaving this nation, the United States, Europe, all over the world, really, they're leaving to go fight and join ISIS. To me, that sounds like a strategy of containment. Let's cut back their limbs a little bit, but let's not get to the root of the situation, which is destroying ISIS, who's waging war on everyone that's not them. I mean, think about it. They're persecuting Christians. They're cutting children's heads off. I mean, they're doing all these heinous acts. And we're talking about containment. You don't contain a disease. You destroy a disease. You eradicate a disease. You don't contain it. And we're going to put our servicemen and women in harm's way, although we say that there's no boots on the ground. And, you know, at one time the president said that, you know, ISIS was compared them to a JV team. And now they're not a JV team. These mm-hmm. people are doing real threats, are doing real things. Mm-hmm. They're hurting real people. And just last night he was interviewed on 60 Minutes. And he, you know, it came out in this interview that the United States misjudged the rise of the Islamic State. I want you to listen right from the president himself as he's being interviewed and what he had to say regarding ISIS and our response to them. Watch this.
How did they end up where they are in control of so much territory? Was that a complete surprise to you?
Well, I think our head of the intelligence community, Jim Clapper, has acknowledged that I think they underestimated what had been taking place in Syria. Essentially, what happened with ISIL was that you had Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which was a vicious group, but our Marines were able to quash with the help of Sunni tribes. They went back underground, but over the past couple of years, during the chaos of the Syrian civil war, where essentially you have huge swaths of the country that are completely ungoverned, they were able to reconstitute themselves and take advantage of that chaos and attract foreign fighters who believed in their jihadist nonsense and traveled everywhere from Europe to the United States to Australia to other parts of the Muslim world, converging on Syria. And so this became ground zero for jihadists around the world. And they've been very savvy in terms of their social media. In some cases, you have old remnants of Saddam Hussein's military that had been expunged from the Iraqi military, which gave them some traditional military capacity and not just terrorist capacity. And this is one of the challenges that we're going to have generally, is where you've got states that are failing or in the midst of civil war, these kinds of organizations thrive. That's why it's so important for us to recognize part of our solution here is going to be military. We just have to push them back and shrink their space and go after their command and control and their capacity and their weapons and their fueling and cut off their financing and work to eliminate the flow of foreign fighters. But what we also have to do is we have to come up with political solutions in Iraq and Syria in particular, but in the Middle East generally, that arise at an accommodation between Sunni and Shia populations that right now are the biggest cause of conflict, not just in the Middle East, but in the world.
You mentioned James Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence. I mean, he didn't just say that we underestimated ISIL. He said we overestimated the ability and the will of our allies, the Iraqi army, to fight.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
That's true. That's absolutely true. We overestimated their ability and their want to fight, but yet part of the strategy is to train the very people that don't have a desire to fight, and we overestimated their desire to do so. I mean, look at what's happening. He's saying that we need to militarily just go push them back, not eradicate them, push them back, and take care of their command control, their capacity for weapons and refueling. It's like we don't want to clamp the veins, you know, for the blood to mm-hmm. flow. We want to take it out. Mm-hmm. We want to get rid of this thing. And I think about this because it's saying, look, this is so important. This is not, you know, and I'm not saying that the president thinks this is a game. I know he knows this is not a game. But you look at what's happening and the terror that's around the world. It's not just the mm-hmm. United States. You know, Great Britain, England. You have all these nations now that are concerned about what's happening. Australia. And they're saying, listen, if we don't, we've been saying this on this program, that if you don't get rid of ISIS there, we're going to see them here on the homeland. We're going to see them in the home front. And now there are reports, and Eric Stackelbeck shared with us earlier, in regards to these warnings, these lone wolf warnings that are going out trying to stir Muslim extremists in the West to perform these lone wolf attacks here in the U.S. Well, listen, I want you to listen to the warning itself. This was a warning that was given. This is CNN, I believe, that's reporting this. But I want you to listen to the warning, this promotion, if you will, of lone wolf attacks. Watch this.
A threat made by a senior ISIS leader who for the first time specifically calls for lone wolf attacks inside Western countries.
Abi Muhammad al-Adnani.
Rig the roads with explosives for them, attack their bases, raid their homes, cut off their heads, do not let them feel secure, remove their families from their homes, and thereafter blow up their homes.
Could this audio tape activate someone who's in ISIS or even a sympathizer inside the U.S. to conduct a lone wolf attack?
It certainly could. Al-Qaeda has tried it before and keeps pushing that message for individuals within the United States, within European countries, to simply act out. The Islamic State could be trying to do the same thing.
Well, guess what? That just happened a few days ago. A few days ago, there was a lone wolf attack, if you will. They're saying it's a workplace violence. I don't understand how Fort Hood was a workplace violence. And now they're saying that this was a workplace violence. But when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about how someone, name of Alton Nolan, actually beheaded a coworker, an ex-coworker there at the plant. You don't want to miss this. We're going to discuss this more because he was reportedly a sympathizer, an ISIS sympathizer. We want to talk more about this. We get back from the break. You don't want to miss this.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. We're in this for the long haul or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we're excited about it. There are so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, we have. He's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error, and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you, and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong, because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if, in fact, that you want to say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about what's been going on with ISIS, our strikes. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about the president and the strategy to what sounds like containment, not really eradicating dealing with ISIS, but trying to cut off their supply as opposed to getting rid of them. And also a threat that was made by reportedly ISIS leaders, allegedly. We have the recording. You saw it. Mm-hmm. We'll make sure this is available for you on the Torch, where they are promoting lone wolf attacks on the West. And here we have a situation that just happened. And we're not saying necessarily this is, but we're going to allow you to connect the dots and for you to make your own decision. But you know what? If it has a tail and it looks like a horse and it, you know, maybe it's a horse. Just look at it, you know? Mm-hmm. But this is what happened. According to Fox News, a man by the name of Alton Nolan, we have a picture of him. He was a recent convert to Islam, and he was apparently trying to convert fellow coworkers there at the workplace, and with no success. And eventually he wound up being fired. I don't know if there was a connection between his attempts to convert coworkers or not. That's unknown at the moment. But eventually he was fired. And what happened after that was that this man went back to the workplace as an mm-hmm. as an ex-employee now, a fired employee, and walked inside and began to stab viciously a woman by the name of Colleen Hafford. And not only did he stab her, but he cut her head off. Mm. He also attacked another employee. Her name is Tracy, I believe Tracy Johnson. And our prayers right now are with Oklahoma, the workers there at Vaughn's. It's a food distribution center. And our prayers are with that whole community. I mean, can you imagine in the United States of America that someone would come in and cut a fellow employee's heads off? What so happened was that the CEO of the company, who happened to be a reserve police officer, a reservist, pulled out his gun and shot him dead before he was able to perform, you know, mm-hmm. any other murderous and hurtful mm-hmm. attacks. And now, I'm sorry, he's not dead. Shot him. He's not dead. He is actually, he's been arrested. He's taken to the hospital. He's been arrested, mm-hmm. and now he's being charged. And people are saying, you hear reports about workplace violence. I don't know. I mean, look at this. You know, IJ Review is reporting 33 things now. Listen to this. 33 things we learned about the Oklahoma beheading suspect and what his hand signal means will show you. I mean, we have a picture of some of his posts on Facebook. And watch this. Look at this. This is what it says here on his Facebook post, and this is, again, by IJ Review. We'll make this available for you. It says, Shalom, Aleichem, O ye Muslims, Allah, SWT, says in the glorious Quran, for those who reject and hate what I have revealed, those who will say, I'll obey, part of what the Quran says their good deeds will be no effect at death or on the judgment day, because you can't fulfill his good pleasure. This is a verse out of the Quran. We also see on his Facebook page that he had pictures of Osama bin Laden posted on his Facebook page. Wow. And there's about 33 other things. One picture is reportedly him showing a hand signal that allegedly has something to do with ISIS. And again, all this is going to be there for your review, for your look at. But it's time for us to stop closing mm-hmm. our eyes. It's time for us to take our head out of the sand. It's time to be alert and awake as to what is happening in our own mm-hmm. nation.
Wow.
I mean, Senator Chavez, just in an interview, he's from Utah, and he with Megyn Kelly on the Kelly File on Fox, and he said that 466,000 people have been detained in the last 351 days coming through the Mexican border, right? Coming through the borders. Mm-hmm. 466,000, but apparently another 157,000 have gone through that they've missed. In the same time period, 157,000. And they're unaccounted for, mm-hmm. and nobody knows who these people are. Mm-hmm. Apparently they come from 143 countries, some of them in the Middle East. And nobody knows what their intent was. And he says that on the day before September 11, 9-10, that four known suspects that have terror ties were captured crossing the border. And maybe we could have had another such attack just here, just near September 11th. It's time for us to stop playing games, stop mm-hmm. playing political games, and start realizing that there is a real threat on our nation. And that our borders basically have collapsed. And we're going to hopefully get a chance to talk about this in our second program. Don't forget that we're two programs back to back. Of course, you can always find out more at VFNTV.com and continue to stay tuned to VFNTV as we continue to share this week many of the things that the Lord has just showed us, things that we're going to help to connect the dots and hopefully shed some light and some perspective mm-hmm. where we can become vigilant. You know, God doesn't want us as believers to be fearful and biting our fingernails and hiding now and start, you know, being scared of everyone you see that's different than you, mm-hmm. okay? That's not what this is about. But this is about waking up to the reality that our borders are down. Mm-hmm. It's waking up to the reality that maybe we're starting to see judgment on a nation that's turned its back on God. Christians have turned. Think about it. Where there's another gospel being preached that says, hey, you can do whatever you want. As long as you say a prayer, as long as you say you believe in Jesus, you can live any which way you want. No, you can't. You can't. I mean, John the Baptist, who baptized them with a baptism of repentance, said, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. That means if you repented mm-hmm. and you've changed. Then there should be fruit in your life that indicates that there is change. Produce fruit. Mm-hmm. So they're asking, what should we do? What should we do? And he begins to tell them, stop doing this, stop mm-hmm. doing that, stop doing this. This is important. And I just keep going back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, right, and pray.
All right.
There's an expectation for us to take a look in the mirror and say, what has happened? Where did we turn away mm-hmm. and journey back, turn our hearts back to God? Listen, the only reason we haven't seen more of these heinous attacks is only because of the mercy of God. You know, I don't believe that God causes these things to happen. It's like I've often shared about this analogy. You know, if I'm walking with my kids, as I have in New York City and Manhattan and Times Square, I mean, cars and cabs and people are just all over the place, and I'm holding their hands, and all of a sudden we're crossing the street, and they yank mm-hmm. their hand away from my hand and run into 42nd Street and get hit by a cab or a car. Or I didn't do that. They left my protection. They went out and did their own thing. And this is what happens. This is what happens when we let go of the hand of God. This is what happens when we say we don't need God in our schools. We don't want mm-hmm. under God in our Pledge of Allegiance. This is what happens when we fight to take a nativity mm-hmm. scene outside of a public building. This is what happens mm-hmm. when we try to scrape away the Ten Commandments from a courtroom, no less. We're yanking our hands away from God. And then we're saying, well, we don't know why this is happening.
Mm-hmm. And then we're blaming God for it.
Then we blame God for it. Listen, it's time. It's time for you. If you're a believer, you're a Christian, it's time for you to the Bible tells us to evaluate ourselves to mm-hmm. see if we're still in the faith.
All right.
To do a heart check. To understand where are you today with God. and to begin a prayer life, if you don't pray, and to begin to abide and spend time with Jesus. We've been saying for quite a while on this program, it's going to be some of the best of times and some of the worst of times. But you know what? It's going to be some of the best of times for those who know their God. Daniel says, those who know their God will do great exploits. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But a lot of believers want to do great exploits, but they don't even know mm-hmm. God. They don't know God. We're not saying knowing about him, knowing of him. There's so many people today you run into say, oh, they can quote your scriptures. They can tell you every story in the Bible. But when you ask them a simple question, who is Jesus to you? They can't even answer that. Think about that. You can't even answer who is Jesus to you. Does it matter how many scriptures you know? Does it matter how many times you attended Bibles, you know, Bible school or any Sunday mm-hmm. lesson? Or it just doesn't matter. What matters is that you know Jesus Christ and that he knows you and that you have a relationship with him. And I'll tell you that if we turn our hearts back to God as a church, as a nation, then we'll begin to see a massive move of God sweep our nation. I mean, that's what we're believing for. We're believing for a third great awakening. We have never been in such a place, think about it, where we need
mm-hmm, right.
an awakening
yeah.
to spread across the entire country. And when you look at just all these different things that are happening all around the United States, and then you look at what's happening around the world with Egypt, with the Gaza Strip, with Israel, with Syria, with Ukraine, with the Ebola in Africa. I mean, just start adding up all these different things. At the same time, the persecution of Christians has been cranked up like never before. Miriam Ibrahim has just been released. Thank the Lord. And praise God for all the prayers that went up for her. For Saeed Abedini, who's still in prison today, and we're going to talk about his vigil, but he's still in prison today in Iran. For all the Christians that have had their heads cut off mm-hmm. in recent days, let me tell you, now more than ever is the time to wake up, to be alert, to turn your heart back to God, and to pray. And to pray, because listen, those, you know, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Those who are with us and with God are far more than those that are against God. And I'm telling you that if we turn our hearts back to him, we will see a lot of this stuff just go away. It'll be dealt with because we're going to see a rising of the church, the awakened ones, and they're going to do great exploits. And we're going to snatch those that are bound, that are in prison, that are locked up spiritually. Mm-hmm. And God's going to set them free when we get back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 eye guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 eye guy. $50 eye
guy. So, you know, that, Donna, she, yeah, she, you can buy gummy bear type vitamins now, and I thought, well, what's the big deal? But truly, now that I'm actually taking a multivitamin gummy bear, and I'm not a gummy bear person.
Wow.
I thought, I'd actually take my vitamins, you know, take it.
So then I saw this gummy bear format.
It's just a, no, it looks like a little mountain thing or something. I don't know what it is. Could be an ad. I didn't have my glasses on. And so, so then I saw this commercial. It's like, they even have fiber, you know, it's for Pat. Fiber and gummy bears, right? I thought, a gummy bear, fiber? I mean, this is like the baby boom thing
cutting
going
edge,
on, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, Donna, get some of that. Oh, my goodness. I'm already doing vitamins. I'll even take fiber.
Oh, wow.
With something like that. And so when she got it, I was like, as a child protector top on top of gummy bears, you know, fiber, I thought, how ridiculous. You have a child protector top.
Those regulations
top of
again.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. That's exactly what I'm thinking. So it said, take two of them. It said, take two of them. And this was my first day of being able to take them, and it just happened to be on a Sunday. And I thought, dude, these are so small, and they taste so good. I think I'm going to take four.
Oh, no.
I'm going to take four gummy bears. They're gummy bears. They're gummy bears. So I, you know, opened the child protector top, and I put the four gummy bears, and I just chewed them up, had a great time, put the child protector top back on. And then I went and spoke. And it was amazing how gummy bears can make a grown man almost cry. So I do want to say it does miraculously work. You're only supposed to take two.
Oh.
And I do understand why they have a child protector top on there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. That was an amazing, amazing baby boomer moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're going to get the opportunity to share with you a vigil that was just done for Pastor Saeed. If you're not aware, if you're new to VFN TV program, many people are being connected on a daily basis. We've been talking about Pastor Saeed, an Iranian pastor, now for the last 2 years, was arrested, and he's been in prison, Evin Prison, our reports are, which is one of the most notorious prisons in Iran, where other Christians have been held for being Christians. And he was arrested. He's been there for 2 years. I believe it's a 7-year sentence, and his wife, Jay Sekulow, even now, our John Kerry, Secretary of State, mm-hmm. has all made calls for the release of Pastor Saeed, and he's now become the face of, you know, modern day persecution. I'd say him and Miriam Ibrahim, who was just released. If you have not heard from Miriam herself, we just did a segment, and that'll be related, so you can actually hear she was interviewed. And we want to continue to pray for her. She still needs help, as she left everything in Sudan, and now she's mm-hmm. in the United States. And we want to be able to support her as well. Whatever we can do, we're going to try to get some links and some information for you regarding that. But a vigil was just done in Washington, D.C. Franklin Graham played a significant role in this. We want you to watch as CBN reports how many that, you know, they want to encourage as many people as possible to continue to stand with Pastor Saeed, continue to stand with his family, and not to forget our suffering brothers and sisters all around the world. I want you to watch this.
In this park, within earshot of the White House, these people came to stand in solidarity with Pastor Saeed Abedini and his family. The Christian convert, who was in his native Iran working on a government-approved orphanage, was imprisoned in September 2012 for threatening the country's national security. But his family and defenders say he's behind bars for a universal right most of us take for granted.
The only reason why he's in that jail is because of his Christian faith.
This event inspired hundreds more like it around the world. From Australia to Zimbabwe, people in 500 cities and over 30 countries held similar prayer vigils. Pastor Saeed's family was at the gathering in Washington, where his wife Nagmeh read scripture, thanked the crowd,
you being here really means so much to our family that you're standing with us,
and encouraged those listening by reading a letter he'd written to their daughter on her birthday, the third without her dad there to help her celebrate. The couple's two kids, Rebecca and Jacob, also led the crowd in song. The Reverend Franklin Graham prayed for Saeed's safe return.
Father, we thank you for Saeed Abedini, for his faithfulness, for his courage, for his strength.
But he challenged President Obama, who called Islam a religion of peace.
Mr. President, followers of a peaceful religion do not cut off the heads of innocent people. Mr. President, followers of a peaceful religion do not hold followers of another religion like Nagme's husband, American pastor Saeed Abedini, captive for 2 years in Iran for no other reason than his faith in Jesus Christ.
He's now been in prison for 700 days, tortured, his health declining, and his life threatened by ISIS and Al-Qaeda terrorists housed in the very same prison.
He's an American, he's a Christian, he's a convert. All three of those, right there, are reasons enough for those Islamic State fighters to want to kill him.
Those attending had a simple message.
We support him and we support Christians that are suffering for their faith and that we're here for them and praying for them even if they don't see us all the time. It's an opportunity to step out and let them know that we are here.
We're praying that he would just stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
And for this fellow Iranian Christian convert, it was also a time to celebrate our freedoms.
In America, we're free to practice, you know, praying in front of the White House, going to church, and there's no persecutions. There are many, many people in the Muslim world who wish that they could be free.
John Jessup, CBN News, Washington.
Absolutely powerful. Think about this. Pastor Saeed in prison for 2 years now, just for being a Christian. And I was encouraged to see these vigils took place over 500 cities in, I believe, 30 other countries. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's encouraging because that says that our brothers and sisters around the world are standing for another brother who's actually been persecuted. Mm-hmm. Some reports are that he's actually been beaten there. He's not getting medical attention. And we're believing that he's going to, just like Miriam Ibrahim, be set free, and he's going to be able to testify. And I love what Dr. Franklin Graham had to say, son of Billy Graham, Reverend Billy Graham. He said he was encouraged by his faithfulness, his courage, and his strength. May it be said of us that we can stand for God, that we would be ones that would be faithful, that we would have courage in the day that we're living in. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Mm-hmm. Courage in the day that we're living in and strength to stick, stay, and stand even when it stinks. And I love Pastor Saeed. I love the persecuted church. There are brothers and our sisters and know that many Christians do. And I want you to pray. We want you to pray. Hashtag Save Saeed. You can follow that on Twitter. And I'm sure there's more updates that are you know, being shared with many people that are praying. But that's what we want to do. We want to be able to pray and stand with them because guess what? Persecution's coming to the West like never before. And we've been sharing about this for some time now. In fact, you can listen to some of our previous segments on The Harvest where Rick Joyner shared extensively based upon a vision he was received. That he received from the Lord about the persecution that we're going to face. And if we don't stand for him and those being persecuted, who's going to stand for us?
Right. Yeah, it's huge. It's like in these hours, it's such a critical moment to have. Like we talked about that global Christian perspective, and it's just like we have to have a heart for what's going on across the world right now and not get so focused on what's happening internally or just in America, because there are so many travesties that are happening. And it's just like if you're part of the body of Christ, if you really have that understanding, if you think about it, if something happens to your brother in your own home, if something happens to your sister when she's at school and she gets beat up or she has a bully, you have compassion. You have an understanding, like, listen, that's my family. And if you think about it, this is how Father God sees us. And it's just like, these are our brothers and sisters across the world. Yeah, they might not speak your language. They may not be in your country, but these are your brothers and sisters. If you're a believer in Christ, this is the family. And you have to have that same response and pray.
Yeah. Well, think how many people live their life as if their life is not going to be accounted for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the truth is that how can we live a life totally separate from those brothers and sisters of ours that are going through great persecution, great trials, beatings, tortures, imprisonment, and we're closed in the West because of our luxuries, our shiny objects that are distracting us, the entertainment, and we didn't pray a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't stand at all. And I believe that God will hold that too. I mean, we're going to account for that. And why, you know, you can avoid tomorrow's regrets today by making a decision to say, I will no longer close my eyes to the suffering, persecuted church. I will no longer close my eyes to those Jews that are being persecuted in Israel and all over the nation. But I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand with those that stand for God, either giving financially, myself, you know, time, or prayerfully with my prayers. I'm going to stand in the gap for those, because standing with them is like standing with Jesus Christ. It's one and the same. Whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you have done to me. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
That's right, we have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.